My name is Carol Barrel. I am a friend of August Selson's. I have benefited from August Selson's input and his counseling on matters pertaining to human sexuality. He has helped me, he's helped my marriage, and it has been through August Selson that I've learned a great many very valuable techniques. I'm not going to go into any specifics, but laugh if you will. The idea of defecating in front of your wife or she in front of you as being sexually stimulating, I never would have believed in a million years. And yet, there it was that afternoon. My wife, home from work, she went into the bathroom and defecated, and I watched, and then I turned around, and I know it's probably disgusting a great many of you. You don't understand. You don't believe. But when I found out that August Selson had been remanded to custody, he was institutionalized. In other words, there was a 72-hour hold on him that's been extended, and he is at the Sweet Farm Forensic Hospital in a town that I call Hoochie-Coo, California. I don't even dignify it with its name. You know it by a certain name that's on the map. But if we can rename the Gulf of Mexico, I can tell you that I am renaming this particular city Hoochie-Coo, California, because that's all it is. Hoochie-Coo and who did who. August Selson helped me free myself to wake up in the morning and break wind and have the one you love say, yes, yes, that's it right there. You hit the nail on the head. August Selson freed me so that I could, at the point of climax, get out of bed naked, put on a tie, walk outside, get in my car, go to work, and have an orgasm. This is what August Selson did for me. And what have we done for him? As I said, I was only late last night, about a quarter to ten, informed my wife, Doubleacre. And the reason why her name is Doubleacre is because when she walks by me, she backhands my nuts. I laugh at it. We found out, though, that August Selson had been remanded to custody and institutionalized at the Sweet Farm Forensic Hospital in Hoochie-Coo, California. Because all it is a lot of Hoochie-Coo. Hoochie-Coo and who did who. I won't dignify it with this. Its actual name is Los Angeles, California, okay? As if you didn't know what I was talking about. I want August Selson released from custody, and I want it done immediately, or I will utilize the offices of the court and my own private counsel to have this good man freed from this imprisonment.
All right, Mr. Barrel, correct?
Yes, Carol Barrel.
I thank you very much, sir, and well said, and very honest, too.
Well, I feel that August is deserving of the honesty, and he's deserving of to have a free hand in life. He's an odd man, yes. He's an oddball, yes, we know that. Anyone that walks casually by August Selson is aware of the fact that there's something very wrong in the area. You're not really sure what it is, but you know in the vicinity, something isn't right. And then you turn around, and there he is, August. And you know what? As strange a man as he is, he becomes your friend. And he helps you with so many things.
So I understand, sir, that he did help you with his sexual counseling.
Absolutely, yes, he did. And he helped my wife, too, Doubleacre. And so I...
Sir, I want to just add, your wife's name is Doubleacre?
My wife's name is Judy. But I call her the Doubleacre because when she walks by, she backhands my nuts.
And you think that's funny?
I don't think it's funny, and I know you, Miss Gray. I'm not going to take any of your stuff either.
I don't want to give you any stuff, sir.
All right, I'm here to just defend a good man.
Was your wife walking by and backhanding you in the testicles, is that something that she learned from August Selson?
You go to hell. You go right to hell.
Well, we had to cut him off there. That was pre-recorded this morning at about 8 o'clock when this gentleman called.
This gentleman by the name of Carol Barrel, he said he is a very good friend of August Selson. Or he said Selznick, and at that time that I had to call you.
Bud called me at about, 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
And asked me what August Selson's last name was, and I said, it's Selson.
Yeah, but the guy that called said it was Selznick, August Selznick.
Well, what's his name?
I think it's Selznick, and he changed it to Selson.
All right, so we're now informed that August Selson is in the Sweet Farm Forensic Hospital, which is the technical name for it.
Well, you know, there's got to be a lot of people feeling to be mad at you because you've been plugging that place as some kind of a rest home.
I haven't plugged it at all.
Yes, you have. You had on that Gloria Grover.
You can talk to Gloria Grover about it, okay?
Let me get on the phone.
Yeah, okay, but we got to get Bobby Dooley on the phone so she can explain some things. Go ahead. The Phil Henry Show here. Welcome. It is a Thursday, and God damn, we have been busy, man. What's going on with the mold? We're checking to see if there's mold at this property we own before we sell it. You can't sell it with mold, believe it or not. And what happens is if there's water running over the course of many years and the wood gets wet and then mold grows. So that's just been a major hassle. A lot of other stuff. So what?
Yeah, I got him on line two. Him? I mean her.
Gloria Grover on the phone with us. Hi, Gloria.
What's going on?
We were talking with August Sels. Are you in the middle of something?
Playing crap.
What?
She's playing crap.
Phil, I'm at Barbary Coast. Is there?
You're playing. You're throwing dice.
Yeah, hold on. Fade that. Let me get. Can I call you, Phil, from a secure location?
Sure.
Because I.
Fade that. What is that? It's dice talk.
Yeah, Ms. Grover?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Oh, I hear the croupiers.
Will you give me the phone, bud?
Okay, Gloria Grover on the line with us. Sorry, Gloria, I didn't mean to interrupt. I know you're playing dice or something.
It's Phil. It's perfectly fine. I was just relaxing. I wasn't. I was in a gambling hall, and I'm outside in a very beautiful area here right next to the... there's a pond and some birds. And
Are you in Las Vegas?
I don't really want to get a load of this. I got Margaret Ray on the phone.
But we're right here, Gloria, if you don't mind.
All right.
Well, are you there with Dr. Elcott?
I'm here with, yes.
All right, well, the reason why we're calling, Gloria, is that we were just talking to Carol Beryl, and... You know this man?
Yes, I know him.
Okay. And he said that a very good man that he knows, August Selson, who we've had on our show.
Yeah, well, you have him on your website, don't you?
Yes, we do.
August, I know him well. Yeah, he was remanded into custody at Sweet. You know that Ed and I are benefactors of Sweet Farm Forensic Psychiatric Facility. You know that, right?
I didn't know that you guys were benefactors. I know that you did commercials for them.
Well, we're both benefactors and benefactees. Ed's a benefactee, and the double benefactee, and I'm the benefactee. Okay.
Are you're messing around, aren't you?
Yes, I am. You know.
Well, all right. So both of you guys donate money.
Yes, we donate money, and so August Selson came to us. Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, he was seeing things. He was talking to. He said he was having sex with the most beautiful woman in the world, Phil.
Well, but before you go anywhere, we find out tonight from Mr. Carroll that August Selson was, against his will, committed to an indeterminate amount of time at Sweet Farm Forensic Hospital, which my understanding is that's like a hospital for the criminally insane.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, well, all right. I mean, was August Selson doing criminal things?
He wasn't doing anything criminal, but he had people very concerned. He was talking to a woman named Lady Beth.
We understand she wasn't there. He was seeing things.
Well, it wasn't so much that. Is that he would go home and he'd say, "We're having a relationship, and how dare you?" When the police finally entered, because I called the police direct, and I said, "Enter the residence." I say again, "Enter the residence." And the officers broke down the door, and he was laying in bed up on one elbow, staring at the cops and saying, "You would interrupt me while I'm having relations with this beautiful woman." And next to him was a bowl of tuna salad. Do you understand, Phil?
No, I don't.
No, he doesn't understand.
You're telling me he was in bed with a bowl of tuna salad?
Yes. Yes, Phil. Okay, here.
Phil, it's Dr. Elcott.
Dr. Elcott, I'm glad that you're there with her.
Well, what did you suspect her of? Did you suspect her of being here with a man other than me?
Phil, when you lift your mind out of the sewer, great things are going to happen. But until then...
If you could just get Dr. Elcott. So, Dr. Elcott, are you familiar with the... Why am I talking to you?
I don't know.
Give me the phone. So, Ed, why don't you go in there? They're playing war right in there. Caesars has got a war game. So what happened, Phil, was essentially this, the police found him with a bowl of tuna salad and a mango that had a hole drilled in it. Shit.
Oh, my God.
Yes, okay? Are you people happy?
All right, so he was very seriously psychotic.
Yes, he was seeing things, he was hearing things.
Well, why does that make him criminal?
He's not, it isn't so much he's a danger to anyone else, Phil. We're afraid that he's a danger to himself. And what we found to be very unusual, he was holding down this podcast, and we got in touch with this man, Stretch Pants. Do you know him?
This is the producer?
He's the producer of the August Selson webcast, and he said it was it's a moneymaker, and that August is knocking it out of the park with this thing. And I said, well, we've got to have him put away. And he said, why? And I said, because he's sleeping with a bowl of tuna salad that he thinks is a beautiful woman. Do you understand? And he was hemming and hawing and go, well, I don't know, this, that, and something else. And why can't he just go in weekends? And, you know,
this is what Stretch Pants said.
Yes. And, of course, the guy's name is Stretch Pants. I'm wondering.
So I went over during.
What'd you do?
I played war. I lost.
I need to give him some. So do you need anything else from me, Phil?
No, I don't. Thank you, Gloria.
All right, Phil. It's very good.
Gloria Grover and also Dr. Ed Elcott. I guess they're in Vegas?
I think so, yes. Well, she told him to go play war at Caesars. Yeah.
War. Okay.
What's war?
Just that one-card war game. They play it in Vegas now. Okay, so I say now. They've been playing it for like 10, 20 years. Okay, so, all right. So I can't stand this. What else is there to talk about?
Well, nothing, Phil, except Mr. Selson is rotting in Sweet Farm.
He's not rotting. He's in there. He's under care. That blows my mind that he was. So he thinks Lady Beth.
He thinks Lady Beth, what it was in point of fact, this tuna salad that he was having relations with.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's what the man said. You heard what the man said.
That's right, Phil.
All right. Coming up next, Bobby Dooley is going to address something that we posted on the Facebook page today, the Facebook fan page yesterday. And she was commenting on some woman that had killed her kids.
Yes, Bobby was commenting, and she heard, you quoted her as saying that some women want to escape their lives, and one way of doing it is getting rid of the kids, and this one woman who killed her kids, and so Bobby, I think the quote was, she looks at her son sleeping, and she says, he's asking for it.
Okay.
There's Phil laughing.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, we'll be right back with Bobby and Steve Dooley in this very disturbing quote that, yes, we did post it. And I guess it got more action than we thought, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people are commenting on everything like that.
It's from a show from 2011. We'll be right back with Bobby Dooley, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Bill Cupertino here. They say that we slice beef as thin as you like it, as fast as you want it, and you can wear it. Right across your face, you can see everything. That's right. Thinly sliced beef at Jack Pertell's. I hope you join us over there. Jack Pertell's thinly sliced beef for lunch, breakfast, snacks, dinner, and other kinds of meals like that, wherever and whenever. We don't care. Jack Pertell, come on. In. We'll slice that beef up so thin you can read through it. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you've been looking for?
No.
All right, then we're blowing it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Jack Pertell, thinly sliced beef. You can read a newspaper through it or have it for lunch. Jack Pertell, downtown. Nugasen's is the pharmacy where you can go and find anything in stock morning, noon, or night. How many times have you gotten out of bed in the middle of the night and said, I don't have any aspirin, I have no pain relief, I have no Motrin? At Nugasen's pharmacies, we are never closed. We are always open, and we will stay open even if we don't have anybody coming in. Even if a person has to work a 48-hour shift. That's right, no sleep for days on end. We will stay open. We will punch that register, open it, put your money in, take out the change or whatever, and let you go on your merry way. We gotta do it. Nugasen's Pharmacies. Never closed, always open, always good stuff. Nugasen's Pharmacies in the Glacier Mall.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. On the line with us, Bobby Dooley, and all it was, Bobby, was a quote that I found on a show that you did with us from 2011, but it struck me, and I did post it on our Facebook fan page.
Well, it was a quote, Phil, that it was a statement that I made in the middle of some very serious news stories. I don't know whether this is. It was the Casey Anthony case.
Oh, that's right.
And I was commenting on the fact that Casey Anthony was getting a great deal of attention. She was getting a great deal of publicity, and was, you know, I had an awful lot of men attracted to her. And I understand. I know they thought that she was guilty.
I thought she was guilty. A lot of people still think she's guilty. I don't want to go through that case again. It was the comment that you made about staring at one of your sons.
Yes, I said that I saw Justin, our youngest, asleep, and I had seen what. And a lot of the people listening to you, Phil, with all due respect, you know it and I know it, are not that all very well educated. They're not the brightest bulbs, okay?
I disagree with that.
Oh, you disagree with that?
Well, I disagree with that.
I'll do it, Steve. Why would you disagree with that?
Because I just disagree with that, not the brightest bulbs. What are you saying? That they don't understand what it is we're about to talk about?
Excuse me, I had to belch. What did you say?
What don't they understand?
What they they don't understand is the fact that as a mother, you look, you slave, you sweat over your children morning, noon, and night, and then you turn on the news and you see a Casey Anthony who allegedly, I don't know, let her kid die out in a field someplace, but when they finally found the kid, well, she had the kid in the trunk of the car, is that right?
I don't want to go through it again. She allegedly killed her kid, but she was found not guilty.
She was found not guilty, right. So here she is. They say she killed her kid, and maybe she did and maybe she didn't. They found the kid in the field or something?
Yes, they did.
Okay, but the kid had been inside the trunk.
The kid had been in the trunk of the car, and then it had been inside a flatbed on its way to, I think, Texas, and then they turned it around.
No, they did not. Don't disrespect that child, okay?
Oh, my God.
God, Mr. Henry.
Don't start talking about where the kid... That poor little baby was found. The kid was dead. Casey Anthony was accused of the murder. She was acquitted. Now, what are you saying?
Well, here's what I'm saying, stud. God.
You talk to my wife like that.
That's right. I want to move this along.
Here's what I'm saying. Casey Anthony got a lot out of that trial. Yes, it was traumatic. But if, and I'm saying a big if, because she was found not guilty, but if she did kill her kid, look what she got. Publicity. She wrote a book. She had Joan Baez or whoever. Who was it that was the attorney?
Joan Baez. It was a man by the name of Mr. Baez. I forget his name.
Oh, it was a man.
Yes, it was a man.
We thought it was Joan Baez.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard, Dooley.
What's that?
Joan Baez is a folk singer.
A boat singer?
A folk singer.
God.
Mr. Andrew, would you please just modulate the way you talk to my husband?
All right, I want to get to the bottom line here on the story of Casey Anthony and why it is you turned around and looked at your son and said, boy, is he asking for it.
It was a figure of speech that you went ahead and published on your website. Now, I know you have the right because you're quoting the show directly, but when I said that, I was thinking about just for the small, not it's not small, but just for that instant where she made a mistake and killed her kid, she's got the world at her feet. She's got recording contracts, got a movie contract.
I don't know that Casey Anthony got any of that stuff. I think she was mostly, for a lot of the years, hiding out.
Oh, give me a break.
Oh, yeah, right. Hiding out.
Are you kidding me? She had the world's media at her feet.
Whether she had the world's media at her feet, well, that's what you're talking about.
The world's meat.
Yeah, the world's meat where?
The world's media at her feet.
All right.
The world's media at her feet.
Did you hear that, Steve?
What, he announced her at the L.A. Pudger game or something?
The L.A. Pudger game.
I mean the Dodgers.
So, Bobby. Bobby?
Yes.
So, all for the price of maybe killing her kid, she has the world's meat at her feet. So, you thought about that when you looked at your son, Justin?
I had no intention whatsoever of harming my son, Justin. It was a half a second that I looked at him. He was by himself. He was asleep, innocent as a lamb. All I had to do was put a pillow over his head.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't get on your high horse, Margaret.
Oh, my God. All you had to do was put a pillow over his head.
I was saying if I was that kind of a person, he's laying there. And I looked at him and I thought of how difficult my life had been, how difficult it was giving birth to him. And I thought for a half a second, I thought, man, he really asked me for it.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
It sounds to me, Ms. Dooley, that you actually contemplated killing your son.
You know what? How dare you?
Hey, what was your say, General, okay?
Yeah, the name's General, not Germlo.
I said Gerbil.
Aren't you guys funny?
Gerbil Shaw. Gerbil.
I'll come there, Dooley, and the next day they'll be saying, what happened to Mr. Dooley? He was here just a minute ago. They'll never find you. Guaranteed.
Oh, my God, you just admitted to it, though.
Maybe.
Well, you did. You just said you'll come there, and the next day they'll say, where's Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, what's that got to do with me? All right, are we done?
That was a threat. Shut up, Steve, okay? You already make me so ashamed.
What?
So that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry. I had no intention of harming my son, but when you think of how hard a life you've had as a woman, and you look at all the great perks that the men in this world get,
And there's my son laying there. I know he's going to grow up to be a man. He's going to grow up to have all of the things all these men have. And I'm thinking, man, he's really asking for it.
Come on, honey.
I got to go.
My wife has to go, Mr. Henry.
All right.
Keep her on.
She's a mess.
That woman is sick.
I'll tell you this. I don't think anybody, even thoughts like that, even if you've never harmed your child, to even have thoughts like that, I don't know. Do you think that's normal?
I think there are times when parents would rather not be parents. I'm not saying they want to kill their kids. I'm not saying that at all.
What are you saying? Are you trying to say that...
Take it easy, will you, Dickman? I'm saying there are times some parents say, if only, you know, if only it wasn't like this. But no, they don't. They're not going to kill their kids.
Well, yes, of course. There are the days where you wish you were young and free and single and the whole world was just one big runway. And as you know, that's why I did the album Margaret Gray, Free and Wild in Hoochie Coo Village. Excuse me. Margaret, no, excuse me. I've had enough of this.
Now, you know full well that it was that Beryl Carroll guy that talked about Hoochie Coo Village.
He talked about L.A. as Hoochie Coo. Hoochie Coo Village is a real place.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Bobby, if you're listening, I know you don't mean what you say, but you know what? It scares people, and it's a pretty sick thing to articulate. And you sounded like you meant it when you said, I'm going to do something bad. Also, let's thank Carol Beryl and his talking to us about August Selson and the fact that Mr. Selson has at least one friend, Carol Beryl, there in Hoochie Coo Town. I don't know.
No, he doesn't live in Hoochie Coo. He said that. I forget what he said.
He said he doesn't like Hoochie Coo, which is L.A.
That's his name for L.A., Hoochie Coo Town or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that's exciting. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Sampri Incorporated.
Talk much?
Yeah, I do talk every day. By me, Phil Henry, for Sampri Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. Get yourself a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show today, baby. Under $10 for the month, under $7 a month for the year. PhilHenryShow.com. Greatest value online other than porn. I'm Phil. Goodbye.
Yeah!